Now, I don't know about you, but one of the first things I look for when I pick up a guidebook with a view to visiting a city is transport around the city and getting in and out from the airport. And so today, rather than take you on a walk, I'm going to give you some guidance about how to get around London. Now, London is a big place and it's got a wonderful transport system, but it's the victim of its own success. It can be crowded, and there are parts of the London transport network which have suffered from underinvestment over the years, but most of it is good, it's generally very safe, and the parts of it that are not good at the moment are steadily improving, some very rapidly. Now, as a visitor, I'll assume you won't be using a car. Parking's expensive, it costs around $4 US per hour in the central area, or possibly even more, and the congestion charge currently is £8 or $14 US per day, which you have to pay when you drive a car in the inner part of central London. And even those of us who have a car and live in central London very often will prefer to use public transport rather than a car. It's just so much easier. And the choice comes down really to taking a taxi, going by bus, going on the underground, which is known as the tube by Londoners, going by train, sometimes known as the overground, and of course walking, going on foot. When Londoners talk about trains, they generally mean suburban routes, that's the overground, rather than the tube, which is the underground. And on the overground there are many different train companies, but the differences needn't concern you if you only want to travel in the Greater London area. Now, National Rail is the name of the long distance trains. They leave from the same termini as the suburban trains, that's Paddington, King's Cross, Euston, Victoria, London Bridge and so on. And I won't be covering National Rail in this podcast because my aim really is just to get you around central London, walking, travelling by public transport and enjoying the city. Now, London is divided into zones. They're concentric zones and you can see them by consulting the London Connections map. And I've put a link to the map in the notes, the show notes of this particular podcast. By clicking on that map, you can see all the stations, both for suburban railways and the London Transport Underground, and you can see, therefore, which zone each station is in. For example, Heathrow Airport, two stations there currently, and soon to be three, is in Zone 6, which is the outermost zone in the London area. After that, in the outer area, outside London, the zones go A, B. Gatwick Airport is outside the London zoned area completely. Now, if you want to travel in the central zone, that's Zone 1, life is very easy. If you want to travel within zones 1 to 6, life's also easy because you can use almost all forms of transport on the same ticket. But you do need to know which zone your destination is in if you're to pay the correct price. And this is where the London Journey Planner comes in handy. And again, I've put a link to the London Journey Planner in the show notes. All you do is you type in your departure and arrival points. I think you can not only do stations but locations as well, and it will calculate the best route for you, generally including buses where necessary, undergrounds, and even the time taken to walk between the one and the other. So how do you then decide which form of transport is best? These views are personal views, of course, like everything else that I put in the podcasts. But for short journeys, my view is that you should walk. London's a great place for wandering about. There have been people in the past who've been great walkers. Charles Dickens is one of them. Said that he walked up to 15 miles overnight sometimes, picking up the sounds and the accents, walking through some really very dangerous places and very deprived places in London, and building into his books what he saw and heard. Nowadays, walking is still good, and you can see so much more than that way than you can see on the buses, or certainly on the underground. But the ancient road pattern and the lack of any logical grid means that you have to buy a map. And most Londoners use the A to Z. This book of maps has been in continuous production since the 1930s. You can buy a small or a large book in any bookshop or stationer or pretty much anywhere else too. And that's really the book of maps. Every single road on it and every single station. And a gazetteer in the back which lists all the roads too. So that's walking. But for slightly longer trips, your choice will be between taxi, bus and tube. I'll deal with the taxis first of all. Taxis are obviously more expensive than other forms of public transport, but in London they're reliable and clean. And you may prefer to use taxis at night or in bad weather. You'll find that the taxi drivers know every street in London. The reason is that they take a test which is called the knowledge, and that generally involves them in studying for 2 years or more. And you can see these trainee drivers on small motorcycles with clipboards mounted on the handlebars as they drive around London learning the routes by heart. Every time they learn one route, then they get tested and move on to the next route. Now, of course, as taxis are charged by the mile and also by the minute, the more people that travel in them, the more affordable the taxi will be. And, of course, they're cheaper during the day than they are at night, and they're cheaper in regular time rather than Sundays or public holidays. Cab drivers are closely regulated by the Metropolitan Police Carriage Office, and their fares are clearly displayed along with the licence, and the meter shows the price that you will pay. But it's customary to add a 10% tip to the meter. Sometimes cab drivers will offer to take you, for example, to Heathrow Airport for a fixed price, but with that exception, unless it's actually offered, bartering isn't otherwise expected, and you should expect to pay what is on the taxi meter. All taxis are now capable of transporting a wheelchair, and you should find drivers friendly and helpful, if sometimes a bit voluble. You may find out a lot about the taxi driver, his politics, his views on life, and perhaps sometimes more than you really want to know. You can, however, turn him off. There is a switch you'll find inside the taxi. Some even have video, and turning that switch turns the video off, and also turns the taxi driver off as well. Now, some places in London aren't well served by the tube. Chelsea, for example, is one of them. And here, if you're going to Chelsea, a taxi might be a better alternative than any other form of public transport. If you want to hail a taxi, wait on a busy street corner, put your arm out when you see a cab coming with its yellow light illuminated. There's no point in hailing a taxi without its yellow light illuminated because it's busy transporting someone else. So that's generally how to use a taxi. But the choice between bus and tube comes down to the route and perhaps the time of year. I'll explain why that is in a moment. Tube is easier for most visitors. Work out your route, change where necessary, and you should arrive at your chosen destination. Buses, however, are frequent and better in hot weather, as the tube hasn't got any air conditioning. Finding the stop and working out your route can be daunting. But if you know the bus number, and you don't need to change buses to reach your destination, then I would recommend using the bus rather than the tube for shorter journeys. And by shorter journeys, I mean journeys of, say, 20 minutes or so. Buses are much cheaper for single journeys too, much cheaper than tubes. And you can buy an all-day bus pass from ticket machines at central area bus stops for a very low price. If you just want to use the buses and you don't want to use the underground, then that's a very affordable way of getting around London. Just buy your all-day bus pass from a ticket machine by a central area bus stop, and you can tell those bus stops because the numbers of the buses are in yellow, and you can hop on and hop off all red buses all day. Now, normally you should ensure that you have a ticket before boarding a bus in the central area, but bus drivers will accept change, that's fares in coinage, if there isn't a machine by the stop. You'll find that most people will use Oyster cards in London. Now, Oyster cards are very clever smart cards which you swipe as you get on a bus or a tube. Visitors will find that travel cards are more convenient for stays of a week or less. So you buy your travel card at an underground station. The fares leaflet, and again I've put a link to the fares list on the show notes. Fares leaflet looks daunting, and in fact it is, but really all you need to concern yourself with is the zone and the time. For example, a one-day travel card for Zone 1 costs £6.20 if you buy it after 9:30 a.m. The price is only £4.90. So leaving until 9:30 a.m. your journey is a very good idea. And the one-day travel card covers travel on buses and tubes in the whole of Zone 1. The other end of the scale, a card for Zones 1 to 6 costs £12.40 at peak times and £6.30 off-peak. But be careful not to buy a travel card for Zones 2 to 6 only. It's easy to do that from the machines in the underground stations, because sometimes those are the ones which are displayed. But don't forget that if you buy a ticket for Zones 2 to 6, if you pass through Zone 1 any time on your journey during the day, then your ticket is not valid. So I would recommend you buy a ticket for Zones 1 to 6, and that's essential. So to recap on that, a one-day travel card for Zone 1 costs £6.20, but really it's best to leave your journey until after the 9:30 a.m. deadline, because the price is only £4.90. Now, when your travel card includes zones 2 to 6, I should mention that all trains are included in the price. So this means that in addition to using the buses and tubes in the zone to which your ticket is valid, you can also take suburban trains to the outer limits of the zone of your card's validity. For example, if you arrive at Heathrow Airport, why not purchase a ticket, a travel card, for zones 1 to 6 at the airport in the underground station there? And then that gives you the freedom of London for the duration of your card. So you could buy, for example, a three-day travel card covering zones 1 to 6 at Heathrow Airport. That would take you from the airport right into central London and would cover you for all transport in zones 1 to 6 for that three-day duration. Just note at the moment, the underground station covering Terminal 4 is closed, while Terminal 5 at Heathrow is under construction. And if you travel into London Paddington on the Heathrow Express, this train is not included in the London travel card system, and your ticket must be bought separately. That goes for the Gatwick Express as well. How to use your travel card? Well, your travel card should be placed face up, that's with the magnetic strip downwards, on the right hand side of a tube gate which shows a green entry arrow. The gates are two-way, in and out, and they're switched between the two ways according to the demand. Exit gates, therefore, have a large red cross on the right, and you will not be able to use those to go into the tube. So look for the green arrow on the right-hand side of the tube gate. That's the side also that you put in your ticket, and that is the way to get into the tube. Don't forget to remove your ticket from the slot in the top of the gate. The gate won't open until you do that. And that goes also, that also applies to the more expensive single journey tickets, that you have to remove them and keep them until the end of the journey and put them back in the exit gate. But I should add that I don't recommend you buy the expensive single journey tickets. These are now so expensive that you're unlikely to find it worthwhile paying £3 for one single journey in Zone 1 on the Underground, unless you absolutely have to. The aim, of course, of putting up the price to that extent is to persuade people to use Oyster cards or travel cards. Now, once through the gates in the Underground, just follow the signs to the line that you want. Different directions will be marked westbound, eastbound, northbound and southbound. It's not like the Paris Metro, where you have to follow the station at the end of the line that you want to take. They are marked in the correct direction. But some of those directions are not entirely clear, especially where a line goes from, say, the northeast of London to the southwest. When does it stop being southbound and when does it start being east and westbound? And also, of course, the Circle Line, not entirely clear whether it's westbound or eastbound and when it stops being one and starts being the other. Londoners, you'll find, will describe the Circle Line as inner rail or outer rail, or clockwise or anti-clockwise. But for that purpose, of course, you've got to know on which side of the road we drive. But memorising the name of the station at the end of the line, or the name of the station that you want to go through, will generally help. So that means that Circle Line via King's Cross, for example, will take you in the clockwise direction normally, if you're in most places. And also where the tube lines branch, knowing which the station is on the branch will help. But when you get to the platform, look for the large maps on the other side of the track. They show you all the tube stops. Also, the next three trains are shown on the dot matrix display, with the intervals in minutes before the next train is due. The buses are rather easier, and now many stops have ticket machines and dot matrix displays too. The times are not as accurate as the tube because of the heavy traffic in central London. But if you have a travel card which you've bought from an underground station, just show it to the driver as you enter the front door of the bus and alight from the centre doors at your destination. Now, in theory, white bus stops with the round London Transport logo, or Transport for London logo on them, are compulsory stops, and red bus stops are on request. You can tell which is which because the red bus stops have on request written on them. That's the theory, but there are now so many buses and they're so frequent that in practice it's best to put your arm out when your bus appears to indicate to the driver that you want the bus to stop to pick you up. And when you want to alight from the bus, push the bell located on most of the upright bars, and you can tell that you have actually activated the bell by looking at the illuminated sign at the front of the bus by the driver, which will say stopping, to indicate to the hard of hearing that a request to stop has been given. So that's about it, really. Not terribly difficult, and you'll find that many Londoners are very helpful. If they see you stopping looking at a map, they may well stop and ask, or if you ask in the right way, you'll probably find that they are particularly helpful in putting you on the right track. For Americans listening to this, I would advise that you make sure, if you're asking for the name of a road or a street, that you do include the word street or road. We do not drop the word street or road, as is the case in America. So if you're asking for Liverpool Street, don't ask for Liverpool, otherwise you'll be sent 200 miles north. Ask for Liverpool Street. So in summary, London is a safe and easy place to get around. It is very busy, and so you will be expected to know what you're doing. You will be expected to know the tube etiquette, as it's called. That means on escalators you are expected to stand on the right, and that means that people who want to go faster can walk down the left. You will not be treated with any great courtesy. You will be asked to move if you stand on the left and someone comes down and wishes to get by. Similarly, on buses, having done a little research in advance about your route, looked at a bus map, looked at the bus stop, seeing where you want to get on and off, will pay great dividends, because even though bus drivers will be helpful, many of them will not have an intimate knowledge of London other than the route they are driving. And this goes for many people you might stop. There are many tourists in London, and many Londoners, as a multi-ethnic city, may not be very familiar with the city in which they live. So that is why doing your research before you set out is a good idea. Having said that, there are many, many places, both on the net and also in underground stations and travel centres, tourist offices and so on, where you can get information so that you're well equipped before you set out. Again, as I said, all these links are in the show notes, so that you can find your way to the various documents that I've mentioned. Have a great time in London, and particularly enjoy the city.